Hallelujah. Let's turn to Revelation. Woo! Chapter 3. I thought I'd ask you for your interpretation of the four horses of the apocalypse this morning. One international speaker said, I don't understand all those horses in the book of Revelation. If it was left to me, I'm sure I'd back the wrong jockey. But we're in chapter 3. There's no horses here. Verse 7. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. Oh, you like that? Okay, let's turn now to Matthew chapter 16. Verse 15, but what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yep. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. Amen. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this little boulder I will build my church. No, sorry, you are Peter, which is the little boulder, and on this rock, which is the big bedrock, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Amen. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Yes. So the Lord alone has the keys. They're his privilege to give the keys to whom he pleases. And these keys were not intended just for Peter. His word to all the disciples was, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. So these keys are for believers. Now the question that God is putting before you this morning is, do you want those keys? And if you have them, will you use them? Keys unlock things. Doors, gates. Keys, when used, open up the way before you. When they're not used, there's no point in having them. You can come up against a locked door, and the key to that door is in your pocket, but if you don't take it out and use it in the lock, the door will remain shut in your face. So we need to know what these keys are. And we need, therefore, to apply them so that the Lord opens up the way before us. Amen. Now, there's a sense in which we have to do that personally. And there's a sense in which we have to do it corporately. That together there are certain keys we need to apply so that God opens up the way for what he wants to do amongst us. But you also need to apply the keys that God gives you to open the doors that stand in your face in your personal life. You don't use the keys, and it seems as if you have come up against an impossible obstacle and you can't see your way forward or see your way through. It's at times like that that you hear Christians say, I feel stuck. I feel I can't get through. I feel I can't make progress. Their problem is that there is a door before them, but actually God has given them the key to unlock that door. So we need to understand what these keys are and how to apply them. Now, nowhere in the New Testament does it describe definitively what these keys are. There's probably a whole bunch of keys, many, many keys, that all speak of some aspect of kingdom life. I'm going to give you 7 this morning, because that's the perfect number. But these are not definitively the only keys, but they are the keys that I believe are the most essential and that will open up the way for us, both personally and corporately. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, I trust that most of them won't surprise you, because the Holy Spirit has been leading us in these last months to focus on one key after another. His word over Kingdom Faith this year is that the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. So we want to keep the talk as short as possible this morning. Just get these things up. Because, you see, I could give you talks for the rest of the year, nice talks about the kingdom and about the authority and about the power and about the keys. But it's not talk that we need, it's the power. And so what God is wanting us to do is not simply write down the 7 keys of the kingdom with Colin Urquhart at the top, because this is his talk, so that you've got definitive notes for the rest of your career. What he wants is for us to take these things and to apply them, and even to do that in this meeting this morning, whatever way is necessary, so that things get unlocked today. Now, it may be that not everybody needs to use the same key today, but you need to use the one that is appropriate for you. And because you're a believer, you do not wait for someone else to come and unlock the door for you. You apply the key, you open the door, because you're exercising, you're using in some way what God has made available to you. Okay, so in no necessary order, first, believe it or not, there is dependence on the Holy Spirit. That's a key. Because when we depend upon the Holy Spirit, then the life and power of the Holy Spirit goes before us and opens up the way. Not by might or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So, depending upon the Spirit opens up the way of righteousness, that we will walk in ways that are right. We will walk with peace, knowing that we are at one with the purposes of God, and we will walk in joy. Because when you are walking in God's purposes, you are filled with joy. Because He rejoices over those who are being faithful to Him. Then secondly, we express the life of the kingdom. And the Lord has been talking to us in these last weeks by showing us that everything about that life is positive. So applying the positive breaks the negative that comes against us. Hallelujah. It's a key to express the positive in the face of the negative. If you speak of need, you are putting another lock on the door. If you talk about supply, then you are unlocking the door. Hallelujah. Just talking about it, just thinking about it, you see. Because God wants us to have kingdom attitudes. Yes. Sometimes, you see, our reason says it's right and reasonable to talk about the problem. Why? Right. What is talking about the problem going to accomplish? Hallelujah. The problem is still there, even when you've talked about it. But when you use a key, you come against the problem.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So the positive overcomes the negative. Amen. Are you there?
Yes.
So another key to the kingdom is to love. Love covers a multitude of sins. When we love as He loves us, it produces the unity that commands the blessing.
Hallelujah.
So it's a key of the kingdom to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, strength. It's a key of the kingdom to love one another as He has loved us. But this is not love, it's agape love, which is expressed in giving. And that giving is the expression of God's grace and mercy. So, all the way through the teaching of Jesus, there is this principle of giving. The measure you give is the measure you get back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You give, and then you get the return. Blessed are the merciful, blessed are those who give mercy, because they shall obtain mercy. If you forgive your brother his sins, giving forgiveness, your Father will forgive you your sins. But of course, there is also the counter truth that if you do not forgive, then you will not receive. So, there is this principle in the kingdom that giving unlocks the way ahead of you. Are you there?
Yes.
Because that giving is both an expression of love and it's also an expression of faith. So, you see, the more we give, the more we begin to express the grace and the mercy of God. And because the kingdom reflects the nature of the king, those are keys of the kingdom. Because ultimately, you see, purpose that God has in giving the keys to the kingdom is so that we actually operate in the same way as the king does. Because the keys belong to him, and all the keys reflect something of who he is. He is the Holy Spirit. He is the life. Hello? He is love. He is the God of grace. He is the God of mercy. So all these things are reflecting something of who he is. So, another key and necessary part of expressing kingdom life is faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. So, faith is trusting in his word and promises. Trusting what God says opens the door. Unbelief leaves the door closed in your face. Love opens the door. A refusal to give leaves the door closed in your face. You express the positive life and the door opens. You speak negativity and you put another lock on the door. Because you've got to undo your negativity and then you've got to be positive. Anybody else breathing in this room? Then God has given us his glory, and he spoke to us about that last week. I feel really there is so much more to say about the glory, but I'm sure we'll catch up on all that in due course. But it means that to live the life of the kingdom is to desire to see the glory in all things. Whatever you do it all to the glory of God. To use the keys of the kingdom is not to seek your own glory. Jesus said that if he sought his own glory, his testimony would not be valid. So any who are seeking their own glory, their own fame, their want to be appreciated and all the rest of it, they are actually doing something that is counter to the kingdom. But those that are seeking to express this kingdom life want God to be glorified in every part of their lives. That which glorifies the Lord opens the door. But to hold on to those things that do not glorify the Lord keeps the door shut in our face. Now, I know that God has put before us an open door that no man can shut. So it doesn't make any sense to shut it and lock it. But if we keep walking in the things of the kingdom, then that door stays open and every other door that seems to be closed in our face will open.
Hallelujah.
Are we there?
Yes.
Now, what Jesus said just after saying to the disciples that he's giving them the keys of the kingdom is that they have the authority to bind and loose. No point in having authority if you don't exercise it. The exercising of authority binds things. The exercise of the authority releases things. So the exercise of that authority releases things that are locked, opens up for you things that are closed. Are we getting this? So all these things in one way or another lead to the revelation of God's power, but the exercise of authority particularly so, as we see in the ministry of Jesus, as we see when Peter and John heal the cripple at the temple gate. They're just exercising authority. So when we exercise the authority of God, the power of God is released and things open up before us. Now, in all these things, we are expressing Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We have the life of Jesus. We are depending upon the Spirit of Jesus. He has given us His life. We are expressing His love, His grace, His mercy. We are putting our trust and faith in Jesus and in His Word. We are seeking to glorify Jesus and the Father in everything we do. We have the authority of Jesus, that the power of Jesus might be manifested in our lives. So we could say that the principal key really is Jesus. Jesus Himself. But I'm going to express that in His holiness, not holiness in a restrictive sense, simply of purity of heart, but in the sense that we are consecrated, sanctified, and consecrated to Him. That opens so many doors. God can do things with a consecrated people that He cannot do with those who are not totally and fully yielded to His purposes. Now, let's just examine the scripture for a moment. I have given you. Is that past, present, or future? Because He has given to us. Amen. When He's talking to the disciples here, He says to them, I will give you. Now that's future. But of course, once the Holy Spirit has come upon them, the future tense becomes the past tense. Like He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So that's a promise, a future. But once the Holy Spirit has come upon them, then it becomes past tense that they have received the power. So we need to see that all this has already been gifted to us. Are you there?
Yes.
All this has already been gifted to us. You already have the Holy Spirit. He has already made you righteous, spoken His peace and joy over your life. He has given you the fullness of life, the positive life of His kingdom. He has already given you His grace, grace upon grace. He has already been merciful to you. He has already put the spirit of love into your life. He has already given you the spirit of faith. With that same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore speak.
So that faith, he is the author of your faith. He gifted faith to you. He has given you the glory that the Father gave him. He has given you authority over all the power of the enemy. So whatever you bind is bound. Whatever you loose is loosed. He has sanctified you. He has consecrated you. He has given you that holiness. He has given you himself. And the sum total of all that is you are blessed. Now, I'm not going to talk for long because we're going to move into action. But I just want you to look at that. And I mean, it's not complete. We could all probably think of other things that we could add to that. But that's not a bad fistful to start with. What did Jesus do with all of that? You see, because all those things are true about the life and the ministry of Jesus. What did he do with all of that? What kind of life did he live? What did he accomplish? What did he do? What were his attitudes? Because, you see, if he's given us the keys, it's so that we can exercise kingdom life in the same way that he exercised kingdom life.
Hallelujah.
So Jesus says, anyone who has faith in me will do the same things as I have been doing, even greater things, because there aren't the same restrictions on the Spirit and the kingdom as there were when Jesus was on earth. Now he is glorified, the Spirit is poured out, and the kingdom can advance, and so on in much greater measure. So he says, anyone who has faith in me will actually do the same things as I have done because I have given to him the keys of the kingdom. Now, supposing you have this bunch of keys, which of course you do have, but you got them stuck in your purse or your pocket or dangling from your belt or something, and you come up against a barrier. Shall I tell you what most Christians do? They say, Lord, please open up the way. He says, well, why don't you take out the key that you've got and unlock the door that is in front of you?
Yes.
You see, we start praying, we start pleading, we start crying out to God. And he says, well, why don't you use the keys that I have given you? Now, of course, there are always those who say, I can't. What they mean is, they never have. They've never used the keys, so they haven't got used to using them. They are dependent people, dependent upon others to come and open up any way for them and take the obstacles out of the way for them. Are we all at the same meeting here?
Yes.
So, actually, no one can depend upon the Spirit on your behalf.
Hallelujah.
No one can express the life of the kingdom on your behalf. No one can love on your behalf. Or give on your behalf. No one can have faith on your behalf. They can agree with you, but they can't have faith on your behalf. No one can contain the glory on your behalf. Or exercise that glory on your behalf. No one can exercise authority on your behalf. You can exercise authority on behalf of the lost, but you can't exercise authority on behalf of another believer. Again, you can agree with them, but you can't exercise authority for them. Every believer has the responsibility to stand firm against the devil and see him flee. No one can have holiness on your behalf. No one can be sanctified on your behalf. No one can be consecrated on your behalf. Nobody can do any of that on your behalf. So every one of us has the responsibility to use these kingdom keys that God has given us. It's given to His church. Now, within this context, you see, Jesus makes a great promise that the gates of hell will not prevail against His church.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't always seem like that. It seems sometimes that the devil infiltrates the church. That sometimes the world invades the church and the church is rendered weak and impotent in the face of the opposition in the world around. But that is because those who belong to the church aren't using the keys. So instead of living in the victory, because, you know, you add all this lot up and it equals victory.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen?
But instead of that victory, so often people in, I'm talking about the church generally, of course, they seem defeated. And then they complain. God hasn't done this. God hasn't done that. God doesn't do this. God doesn't do that. I mean, it's... They take it out on God, and all the time God is saying, why haven't you used the keys? If you used the keys, you wouldn't be complaining. You see, when we were talking about a positive kingdom, it should have become quite obvious to all of us that whenever we're complaining, whenever we're dissatisfied, we're out of the will of God. I'm at present recording John's Gospel. I was spending all day yesterday reading this. It's just part of a bigger project that God is laying on my heart to do. We're going to use it on our radio programs and in all kinds of other ways. Because there's tremendous power in the anointed reading of Scripture. But if you're going to publish something like this, it's got to be absolutely word perfect and all the rest. So it's not quite as simple. It's not just sitting down in the studio and reading it. It's rather more than that is involved. But as I was doing this yesterday, there was one phrase that really struck me. That Jesus uses a number of times. Sometimes to His opponents, sometimes to His disciples. And it's this phrase, stop grumbling among yourselves. Stop grumbling among yourselves. Why? Because grumbling has got nothing to do with the kingdom. It's not a kingdom of grumbling. I think when I was doing the positive kingdom with you, I said, you know, say certain words, and one of them was grumble. I mean, you've only got to listen to it, grumble. Does it sound positive or negative? And it jolly well is. Grumbling is expressing dissatisfaction. It's as simple as that. Grumbling is the result of getting your eyes on the circumstances and not on the Lord. Grumbling is a form of unbelief. It is the very opposite of rejoicing, which is an expression of faith. So Jesus says, even when the going gets really tough, even when you're persecuted, even when you've got everything going against you, he says, rejoice and leap for joy. Hallelujah. Why? Because you're expressing the kingdom. Yes. You don't complain, you don't grumble. You see, if you have sickness and all you do is talk about your symptoms and your need, you're getting more and more sick. If you have a financial need and all you do is talk about the need and what you haven't got, all you do is dig a pit deeper for yourself. Why? Because from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Sometimes we need to state a need so that the need is met. But we state it in faith to God. We bring it to God. We're bringing it to the cross. What we don't do is sit around talking about it. You see, there are always those that want to sit around all the time talking about their problems. And what happens is their problems get worse and worse and worse and worse. And then they say, I can't understand why the Lord isn't taking this need away. Well, I can. As soon as you start using the keys of the kingdom, you will move into another level altogether. The trouble is, you see, that very negative people have got a rusty bunch of keys. But if you are really moving in the purposes of God, your keys are nice and shiny.
Amen. Yes.
Because they're constant, in constant use. Praise the Lord. So as you look at this, what key do you need to use? Well, the short answer to that is all of them. And some of them, you will be aware, are nice and shiny and they are being well used in your life at this moment. But it may be when you look at that, you say, well, I don't know that I really seek the glory of God in all things. Or you might say to yourself, I'm a little short on giving at present. I'm expecting to receive, but I'm not doing the giving. Or you might realize, well, wait a minute, I've been talking about the circumstances and the need instead of really trusting the Lord and His words of promise. So what do you need to do this morning? Well, you need to say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. But then it's no point in just saying, I'm sorry, Lord, I haven't used all the keys. Because he'll forgive you for that, but of course you haven't truly repented unless you then take out the key and use it. Are you breathing? So perhaps you need to be merciful. Perhaps you need to be gracious. Perhaps you need to be positive. Perhaps you need to rejoice. Perhaps there's some unrighteousness that needs to be dealt with. But whatever it is, there's something positive that you need to do, and in the doing of that, you are unlocking something. Hallelujah. Now, let me just finish by making this clear. You see, this is not asking the Lord to do what he's told you to do. Christians are forever praying in such ways that they're asking God to do what they are commissioned to do. I was talking to some of your students last week. You know, God's word to you is that you are to heal the sick. Don't keep asking him to do it. You're to do it. You're to do it in his name, and you will become a channel of his grace and love and power. But it's all a question of attitude, you see. Because if you believe you have the keys, then you begin to think differently. And you say, yes, I can depend upon the Holy Spirit. It's within my competence to do that. I can do that. Anybody can do that. I have the Holy Spirit. I can depend upon the Spirit if I choose to do so. I can walk in righteousness because in Christ Jesus, I am made righteous. I can choose to walk righteous. I can do that. I can say no to temptation. I can say no to sin. I can say no to the devil. I can choose to walk. I can do that. I can rejoice in the Lord. I can choose to do that. Even when I don't feel like it, I can still do it. And it's a command, you see, in the Word of God. Rejoice. I can do that. And then, you see, the positive came. Yes, I can do that. I can be positive. I can choose to say what is positive, not what is negative. I can choose to have a positive mindset, not a negative mindset. When all the emotions rise up and are negative, I can choose still to be positive. I can do that. Why? Because God has given me the key. I can do that. And then you can say, give. Yeah, I can give. I can choose to give. I can give as much as I choose to give. I can give. I can love. I can serve. I can bless. I can do that. I don't have to keep asking the Lord to make it possible for me to do it. I can already do it because I have the Holy Spirit. I have Christ in me. I can do that. I can be merciful. Of course I can. I can be merciful. I can choose to forgive anyone who wrongs me. Today, if anybody upsets me, I can forgive them. I can do that. I can choose to. I can do that. I can do that. I can do all things through him. I can do that. I can have faith. I can choose to trust in his word. I don't have to trust in my reason. I don't have to trust in the circumstances. I don't have to listen to my emotions. I can believe what God says. I can believe his promises. I can hold fast to those promises with an open and good heart. I can do that because he's given me the keys. I can do that. I can live for the glory of God. I can decide in all things to glorify him. I can choose not to glorify myself. I can choose not to seek for myself. I can seek to glorify him. I can seek to manifest his life and his power in all I do. Yeah, I can exercise authority. I can do that because he's given it to me. I can bind what is bound in heaven. I can loose. I can release what is released in heaven. I have authority over all the works of the devil. I can do that. I can take authority over all those things that come against me and oppose me and oppress me. I can do that. I can be like Jesus because I have the Spirit of Jesus in me. I can think like Jesus. I can speak like Jesus. I can walk like Jesus. I can actually glorify Jesus in the way I live today. I can do that. I can live the holy life because I have the Holy One living in me. I can live a sanctified and consecrated life because He has already sanctified and consecrated me. I can do that. Now, if you can do that and you don't, what does that say? That you know better than God? That you don't mind a few shut doors? That you can't be bothered? That you don't believe you can? Because you don't believe His word? I mean, what does it say? Hello? It's gone very quiet all of a sudden. Well, whatever it says, you need to get out of it. Because the truth is, I can. However, we have to take one further step. It's no use saying, I can, unless you then go on to say, I will. I will live that today, and tomorrow, and Thursday, and Friday, and next week, and next month, and next year. I will do that for the rest of my life. I can and I will. You see, when God gave you the keys, He gave you the whole bunch. Yes. Even the ones you haven't discovered yet. Because you haven't needed them yet. But you'll find whatever you need, God has given you a key to meet the need. It's just, you know, sorting through the bunch and finding the right one. But, I mean, you use these keys and so much is going to open up before you. Is this good or is this good? It's good because it's the truth. You see, truth is not to remain locked up in a book. What's in the book is to be in your life. So, you know, he could stand up now and say, oh, God, I praise you. You've given me the keys. And God say, well, I will really be praised when I see you using them. We could say, oh, Lord, I thank you that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And God would say, well, I really believe you when I see you doing all things in dependence on Him. See, the Lord says, what pleases me is not the words, but the doing. That's why Paul says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. The worship he wants is not just the songs. He wants us to do the songs, not just sing the songs. We can sing them so long as we do them. Mm-hmm. So, hallelujah. What a God. Yes. I mean, what a God. You can do all those things because of what he's already put in you, what he's already given to you, for the grace that has abounded to you. Now, just to finish, what on earth is God going to open up of heaven if all of us use these keys? In 2 or 3 weeks' time, we have a God of Wonders conference. Hey, we are not waiting for the wonders at the conference.
Yes.
We've got to get the wonders before the conference if it's going to be a conference of wonders. We sing in some of our songs that God is wonderful. That means he's full of wonders. So what's the point of singing that if we don't see the wonders? Lord, you're wonderful. He says, oh, really? Well, why don't you believe me for the wonders then? So we need some wonders before the week where we tell everybody else who comes for the conference about the wonders. We've got nothing to say if we don't get the wonders really, really freely flowing before that week. But according to this, we have the keys that unlock the way for God's wonders. So if you need a wonderful event in your life, you can thank God that you've got the key, and all around you are others that have got the keys to unlock that wonderful thing that you need. Do we have any believers here? See, it's great to talk about it, isn't it? Until we reach the point where you actually expect something to happen. And suddenly everybody goes quiet. I mean, the theory is wonderful. We can all get excited about the theory. I mean, what notes you've got this morning. Hallelujah. I've even given you your notes to write down. I mean, praise God. The 7 keys of the kingdom. Whoa, ho, ho. And they're all pointless and useless if we don't put them into practice. So let's all stand.
Hallelujah.
Oh, we can do that. Some a bit slow in doing it, but we can do that. Some just need the faith and courage of others. Just turn to at least 5 people and say, I can. Now turn to 10 different people and say, I will. Okay. Now, I'm glad you look happy about it. But this isn't something to joke about. I mean, this is serious business. Joyful business, but serious business. Because when God speaks a word to us, He expects it to be worked out in our lives. He doesn't speak to it so we make the notes, or so that we just hear it, but believe it. Remember, the wise man who built his house on the rock heard the word and put it into practice. The foolish man heard the word but didn't put it into practice. Now, I trust there's no fools here this morning. Only wise people. Amen. So let's just lift our hands and thank the Lord. Come on, thank Him that He's given you the keys of the kingdom. That as you exercise those keys, the way is going to open up before you. God will do wonders in your life and through your life in the lives of others. Come on, thank Him that He is wonderful in your life, full of wonders. Hallelujah. 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 Korata parazata pakarazata pahatuba. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Borata parazata parazitorisata bazatuba. Come on, Master. Come on, Holy One. Praise God. Praise God. Okay, now. Let's just do some business with God. Start where we are. Being honest with Him, honest with ourselves. If you see that some of these keys haven't been used or aren't being used at this moment, ask the Lord to forgive you for that. Whatever of these keys let's get things right with Him. See, to say I can is actually a statement of dependence upon the Spirit. It's the realization I can do all things through Christ, through dependence on Him. I can. I can express the life of the kingdom. I can be positive. If you've been negative, come on, let that negativity get washed out of your heart, washed out of your mouth, washed out of your life.
You know, love does not rejoice in the wrong. And when you keep talking negatively, you're actually rejoicing in the wrong instead of rejoicing in the right. Perhaps there's some giving, maybe financial, maybe in some other way. Some way in which you haven't been gracious or merciful, just needs to be put right. Maybe something God's spoken to you or promised you, and momentarily you've lost sight of the promise. So you haven't been speaking the promise over your life, you've been speaking the need over your life. Maybe there's some area where you've been so concerned about yourself, so centered upon your own feelings and circumstances that you've forgotten all about glorifying the Lord in all things. And don't realize that that situation exists so that you can glorify the Lord in seeing that situation change. Remember the man that was born blind, and they said, "Who sinned, this man or his parents?" And Jesus said, "Neither. It was that the glory of God might be revealed." So whatever your problem is, it's so that the glory of God might be revealed, not that you might just wallow in the problem. But the glory of God is to be revealed in you. The glory of God is to be revealed in the transformation that happens in your situation. You may have lost sight of that, just being so focused on the problem. You forgot all about the glory. Maybe that you've been under oppression, attack, and you haven't exercised the authority of the kingdom that God has given you. And you've just let the devil kick you around like a football, make you feel really lousy, heavy, condemned, useless. And all the time you've had the authority to kick him into touch, kick him off the playing field altogether. I just need to say, "Lord, I'm sorry that that authority has been like a rusty key in my pocket or my bag. I'm taking it out today. I'm going to exercise that authority." Maybe there's something that's not like Jesus, something unholy, something been attacking you in your mind, some temptation that's put before you. Well, you can resist that by your dependence upon the one who is in you. And if you haven't taken that key out, then you need to say, "Lord, forgive me. I'm the one that always suffers when I don't use these kingdom keys. I just make life so hard for myself. It isn't the circumstances that are hard, it's my fault for making the way hard for myself because I haven't used all the keys you've given me. It wouldn't be hard if I only used the keys. Because it didn't matter what comes against me, I would overcome. The door of victory would open before me as I use the keys. You might need to say, Lord, I'm sorry that I blamed you, got upset. I believe the Lord's saying some of you are upset because of what people have done to you. Well, God knows all about that. God might even have orchestrated it. Just to show you the negatives that are still there within you that need to be dealt with. Hallelujah. Now, having got right with the Lord, use the key or the keys that you need to use. Use them in prayer now. Maybe you've then got to go and do something in action. But at least use the keys now. Take those ones that you haven't been using, take them out and apply them. Just see yourself putting that key in the lock, and that lock is turning, and the door is swinging open. Hallelujah. So the way is clear before you. Oh, praise you, Lord. Now, if you need to back that prayer up with some action, then just agree with the Lord that you would do the action just as soon as is possible. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. I give you all the glory. Give you all the honor. I give you all the praise. What a mighty, glorious God you are. So faithful in all your ways. How we bless you. Just before we move on, let's just take this phrase. Stop grumbling among yourselves. Huh. Come on, just thank the Lord that part of His grace is to change you from being a grumbler to a rejoicer. He hasn't given you a spirit of grumbling, but a spirit of rejoicing. Hallelujah. Just agree with the Lord that you're not going to grumble and you're not going to listen to any grumbling. You're not going to be a party to any grumbling. There's this, not only the grumbling attitude, you see, but it's stop grumbling among yourselves. Why? Because you're sowing negative seeds every time you do that. We don't want any negativity here because we're going to see the wonders of the positive kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now just lift your hand and thank the Lord for kingdom authority, kingdom power, kingdom wonders. Hallelujah. Signs and wonders that demonstrate the presence of the kingdom. Thank God for the wonders He's going to do in your life. Praise you, Jesus. Glorify you, Jesus. You're a mighty God, Jesus. Hallelujah. Koparazata bakarazitoba. Come on, praise Him now. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, you are full of wonders. You are full of wonders. Hallelujah. 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 Purata pakara zatuba. Horata parazata pakara zituba. Now thank Him that He's going to do wonders in your life. And you are going to do wonders in His name. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. You are wonderful, Lord. And you have put the wonderful counselor in us. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you that we can move today and every day in your supernatural wonder-working power. That no matter what happens, we will expect wonders. We will expect your kingdom to be manifested. We will expect the supernatural to overcome the natural. And we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Paratabarazatuba. Well, I can hear everybody at the front is excited. I trust you're all excited at the back as well. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, this is going to be a wonderful week. Come on, just turn to at least three people. Say, this is going to be a wonderful week. A week full of wonders. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's just finish by saying it. I can. And I will. For the glory of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.